Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey guys, welcome to this bonus episode of TFL Talk. It's our video slash audio podcast, and we're going to be doing bonus videos in the middle of the month, middle of the week, and we're going to be helping you guys find your perfect vehicle. This is our show where we help you and we give you advice on what car or truck to buy, but since we're on the truck subject today, it's all about trucks. And joining me is Andre, the managing editor of TFL Truck.
Hello, guys. And yes, this particular show is all about pickup trucks. So please don't ask us, should I buy a Corvette or a Mustang? That's for a different type of show.
Yeah, and to get the conversation rolling, we are one of the few people in this world, Andre, who have driven actually all of the midsize super trucks. And that includes a TRD Pro. You took it on a very quick off-road course, and we took it in a rock garden. We own the new Ranger Raptor, and we've certainly driven the two GM twins.
Yeah, the Colorado ZR2 Bison and the Canyon 84X AEV edition. What about Nissan, Roman?
We have also driven the hottest, latest Nissan Frontier.
But we wouldn't call the Pro4X a super little super truck, right?
No.
I mean, they do have the Forsberg edition, which is a specialty kind of off-road specific version. But as far as I know, no journalist has driven it yet.
Yes.
So we don't have a lot of information.
And let us not leave out our Honda fans.
Yeah. What about the Honda wide body lifted Ridgeline?
Yes. The HDR?
Honda, HPD.
HPD. I was close. No, I wasn't close.
Or actually Trail Sport.
Or the Trail Sport.
Yes.
Or of course, we don't want to forget all of our Rivian fans.
Right. Actually, those are kind of super trucks.
They are kind of super trucks. Yes. Unfortunately, we're under embargo because you just drove the latest and greatest one. So
we won't come back to oldtfl.com because we have a lot of coverage on all the Rivian news that are coming up.
So right now, we're going to talk about the ones we can talk about. But the goal of this video slash podcast on our TFL Talk channel is that eventually we'll have you guys call in and ask us questions live, and we'll ask hopefully somebody to maybe even screen those calls, Andre, because it could be kind of dangerous if we don't. But for now, that we're doing it the easy and old-fashioned way, which is if you have any questions, you can ask us in the comments in the little live stream, and we'll answer them. And remember, once again, we're talking about trucks, not cars. But let's start off, Andre, by talking about probably the two most interesting trucks because of the newest, and that's, of course, the TRD Pro and the Ranger Raptor, because they're both brand new and they both directly compete against each other. And let's throw the Trail Hunter in there as well, because we've also, you know, been in that and we know a lot about that.
Exactly. And I think now these trucks are accessible. TRD Pros are being built. I don't know if a customer already purchased one, but imminently, you know, that truck is coming. We have a lot of information about it. The Ranger Raptor has been on sale for a few months, and it's the first time in the United States we have a Ranger Raptor, right? Usually the rest of the world got all the cool Ford Ranger stuff, and we missed out, but now we have it.
And we actually, when you say we have it, we actually have it.
Well, TFL Truck and TFL Studios purchased one, and we do have it.
And we've gotten a lot of comments like, what happened to it?
It's still here.
It's still here, and the fact is we've just been so busy going on trips and programs that we haven't had a lot to do with it. But over on TFL Off-Road, Tommy just took it off-road to do a kind of an update on it. So that's coming on our off-road channel, or you can go to all TFL. But let's start out by talking about that truck, because I think it's the most affordable of them all.
Hey, podcast listeners and TFL Talk viewers. I wanted to take a minute to talk to you about a quick and simple way to sell your car or truck with the help of our new partner, HiRoad. With HiRoad's online portal, you enter your vehicle's VIN number or plate, mileage, and zip code, and you'll get competing offers from several qualified dealers in your area within seconds. You pick the best deal offered and follow through with the dealer to sell your vehicle. No more managing scammy emails from buyers on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. No more time wasted on no-show buyers. No bait and switch with a "will you take a check" excuse from sketchy buyers. Now keep in mind, these offers will be for trade-in values of your vehicle. If you want to go through the hassle of getting more for your vehicle, that's up to you. But if you want to sell your vehicle hassle-free and fast, go to tfltruck.com and click Sell Your Truck in the navigation menu. Or click on the HiRoad ad at the bottom of the website if you're on mobile, or click on the column if you're on a desktop. HiRoad makes it easy, and we like easy.
Yeah, as far as super, and I'm using quotes here, right? We need to define that a little bit too. But the Ranger Raptor, I think, is still the best value.
Yeah, it comes, well, first of all, the Ranger, let's take another step back, comes with three powertrains.
Yes.
And of course, the Ranger Raptor has the most powerful of those, which is the same engine that's in the
Bronco Raptor.
Yeah, Bronco Raptor. Yeah.
Which it's a 3-liter twin turbo. And in the Ranger Raptor, it's 405 horsepower. In a little, you know, vehicle, for over 400 horsepower and 430 pound-feet of torque. So this is a torquey little thing.
Comes paired with a 10-speed automatic.
Yes.
Dual
lockers, front and rear.
Dual lockers.
That's rare, other than the Gladiator, that we can also discuss here in a way, the Jeep Gladiator.
And active shocks, Fox active shocks.
Yes.
So I was just driving it yesterday. And actually, I was using it as a truck. We went and planted some trees at the ranch, and we went and picked them up. And I got to tell you, one of the things that made me fall in love with the Raptor originally was kind of its Baja-style ride, which is kind of this floaty. It's almost like a 1970s American luxury ride where you just kind of float over the road. Now, the Ranger Raptor isn't quite that soft, and I was playing with the different settings because you can change the suspension settings. You can change the exhaust settings. And you can, of course, change the different off and on road settings. So I had it in Baja mode, which I suspected was the floatiest. Mm-hmm. But it's well dampened, and so it does control the ride. So you don't get that kind of – the problem with the floaty ride is it gets too floaty and becomes bouncy, right? So you go from kind of gentle wafting to uncomfortable bouncing. And the Ranger Raptor will never do that. The downside of that is you will feel – like I went over some railroad tracks, so you will feel those. You still feel the ground underneath you. So you're not completely insulated, isolated from the road. But it is very comfortable in terms of its ride quality.
Yeah, and there's one comment here that our audio is a little bit low on the live show.
Yeah.
But I think let us know if we can somehow fix it or if it's, you know, if it's okay. Roman, I want to say this about the Ranger Raptor. It's just a fun vehicle to drive. I'm not talking about off-road right now. I'm just talking about commuting. I commuted in it a couple times, and
here you talk. I'll get an asfixiario.
Yeah, I commuted in it a couple times, and it's just fun. You can put it into sport mode. You could surprise some people on a at the traffic light or just passing somebody on a freeway. But there is one negative about it, and I think it does not look ultra super special. So it kind of blends in a little bit in a way. So, but I think it's cool still. It's a truck that you could drive every day and you could also surprise a lot of people with it. And
okay, I got our videographer, Alex.
Okay, we have support.
We have support to hopefully jack up the audio so that it's a little bit louder for you guys. You know, this is our first live show, so we apologize for any technical difficulties. But
Alex, not the first ever live show. It's just the first live podcast.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was saying, Roman, I love how quick it is,
mm-hmm.
But it's not super noticeable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, you're exactly right.
You know, it's like if you saw it in a sea of pickups on the highway, you're not going to scream out, oh, that's a Ranger Raptor.
I had four people yesterday film me driving the Cybertruck.
Yes.
And this thing is invisible, right? And it says Raptor. You know,
well, it says big Ford on the front and it says, you know, giant Ford on the back. And there's a Raptor graphic on the side.
And I took it to Cars and Coffee Invisible as well.
Really?
I just think it doesn't have enough of that kind of hourglass shape. And the front end, Ford's new front end design is a little too, oh God, maybe the best word for that would be subtle as opposed
to. Or maybe SUV-ish.
Very good. I agree.
SUV-ish.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like it looks like a kind of an SUV that became a pickup truck, basically.
Unfortunately. So I think that's part of the problem. The other thing I don't like for me particularly, there's a little bit of a cutout in the seat, which is kind of poking me in the back. So I have to kind of recline the seat a little bit more than I'm used to because I like it straight up so that it doesn't poke me in kind of the crook of my back. And then the exhaust, Andre. You can change the exhaust note. But it just sounds very flatulent. It just sounds very it kind of sounds like not vroom, vroom, vroom. You don't get the right. You get that right. It's too breathy. I'm sorry if I busted your ears if you're listening to this. That's my best sound of a flatulent truck.
Can I say something about the exhaust?
Should we maybe pre-record that next time?
We should. As far as V6 EcoBoost trucks from Ford, I think the Ranger Raptor is the best because I think it's a little bit more higher pitched than the F-150 Raptor V6 and some of the other V6 F-150s that exist out there. It's not a V8.
Yeah, and I definitely...
It's not a V8.
The sense I get is that this truck was designed more by either the Australian Ford team or the European Ford team, right? It doesn't have kind of that edge that we expect from America. It's got that, it's a little too civilized, I guess is the word I would use. And I was listening to a podcast from the UK, right? I think it was Smith & Sniff, and Johnny was talking about that he had the truck and that it was absolutely ridiculous and that, you know, no matter what he did, he was able to get like 20 mpg, which in our world is actually not bad.
Right.
When you compare it to a TRX, or, you know,
or a bigger Raptor.
Or a bigger Raptor, yeah. And then, you know, he was saying that all of the frills and the add-ons are kind of silly. And I can get that. Like, if you take it from a UK perspective or even continental, European perspective, where there is no off-roading, there is no real Baja. And I also actually watched a review of it when they had the program in Europe for it. And I think they went to Spain and did a little bit of rock crawling. And they were all, like, amazed at what the truck can do off-road. You know, we're used to that, right? We've had 10 years of the Raptor. So for us...
Over 10 years, yes.
Yeah, for us, it's actually kind of mild compared to spicy. And for the Europeans, it's very spicy.
Well, for us in the Western United States specifically, we have so much public land, right? You know, insane amount of public land. And if you look at the East Coast of US or Europe, they almost have no public land, right? It's either private or some sort of designed course, right? So I think we're really lucky here in the Western United States.
Now, having said all that, so currently in our fleet, we have a number of trucks. So we have the Cybertruck, which we bought, which is long-term. We have the Ram 2500 Cummins, which we lifted. And it's a monster, heavy-duty off-road truck.
Yeah.
And we also have the Ranger Raptor. And we don't have a full-size truck at this moment, do we?
No, we don't. And there's a comment here that says... don't buy midsize, go half ton. That's from Cocolandia. So thank you for that comment.
Oh, and we also have the Taco. We also have a Taco, brand new Taco. But if you were to line those four trucks up in front of the office, the Ranger Raptor, the Taco, the Cummins, or the Cybertruck, the keys I would grab first would be the Ranger Raptor because to me, it's the most easily livable.
It's actually comfortable. The seats are really nice.
The seats are comfortable. Yeah. It's like it's got the. I think it's got more back seat room than the Taco. It's easy to park. Johnny was right. It gets about 20-ish mpg, which to me is actually pretty darn good for what is a high performance Baja race truck. And the Cybertruck just gets way too much attention. And the Ram 2500, as much as I love it for towing or road tripping, it's a beast to park. It's a beast to see over. I mean, you run over Priuses, you can even flinch, So having said that, that's the one that I would grab. How about you?
I will grab the Cummins.
Fair?
the biggest, the tallest, and the burliest truck. Why? I don't know. I love big trucks.
And I also, cannot lie.
I cannot lie. And also, I can tow trailers. It doesn't care when I tow a heavy trailer, even lifted. The Cummins doesn't care. And also, I feel like the king of the road. And
yes.
Just a complete king.
Yeah, but then you pull into a parking lot, and the king of the road is going to be the one that's going to be struggling to pull into
any parking spot.
Any parking spot, yeah. Yes.
But that's the keys I would grab, I think.
Okay, fair enough.
So let's talk about Tacoma. So there's a few comments here.
Yeah.
So first of all, TM says, if the TRD Pro had a twin-turbo V6, then Tacoma all the way. But right now, not sure. There's another comment, one tiny four-cylinder option in the Tacoma means it's on its way out. I wouldn't discount Tacoma anytime, you know, right now.
It's the most popular truck in America.
In mid-size segment.
Yeah, yep. They sell about, mid-size segment.
So they sell almost 250,000 of them a year.
Exactly.
So please don't discount Toyota. Toyota is a powerhouse, and they know that market really well.
Yeah, and so the Ranger Raptor, we paid all in about $57,000 for it, and that includes...
Before taxes.
And we didn't pay over sticker,
no.
Thanks to Ford and thanks to our dealer. So we do have a little bit of, we're not going to lie about this. We do have a little bit of sway because, of course, we have this audience, you guys, so we can kind of beat our chest and we're not the typical buyer when we come into the Ford dealership, which helps. I understand that they are selling for over sticker. I understand that the allocations are really tight. So we're very well aware of that, and we feel very grateful that we have it to review. Anyway, it's certainly the most affordable, and I say that with air quotes.
You get a
lot of value out of all those trucks. And there isn't a huge sense of cost cutting inside of it. I mean, you do, instead of a horizontal screen, you have a vertical screen. So the Mustang has a horizontal screen. This has a vertical screen. There are actually buttons, real buttons for some of the functions, like your volume knob. You have that. And there's a little bit of color inside. We have the orange little stripe on the steering wheel so you can see which way is straight ahead. And then there's orange accents in the seats and on the dashboard. Digital dash, of course.
Yes.
I believe. Yes, I forgot.
Exactly. Yes. The gauge cluster is all digital.
Yeah, and I feel like it is the one that you get the most bang for your buck. Now, the Tacoma TRD Pro, that's, of course, a hybrid.
Only a hybrid right
yes.
now. And the Trail Hunter is also all hybrid. So those are the two top trucks in the Tacoma lineup right now.
And we're on their website. And how much does it start at, the TRD Pro?
$65,395.
So effectively, if you're not talking about dealer markups, you're $7,000 to $8,000 over
the Ranger.
Ranger. And they're not available yet. Or they're just coming available. I haven't seen them yet in the
dealership. They're being built. Yeah. And by the way, all Tacomas are now built. There are two factories in Mexico that Toyota has had for quite some time. And they're being built all in Mexico right now for the North American market. And it's all hybrid all the time, which means not as much horsepower, right? 326 horsepower.
But a lot more torque.
But a monstrous torque, 465 pound-feet of torque. It's because the electric motor is helping the turbocharged four-cylinder engine in the Tacoma.
I think we should talk about that.
Yes.
So Toyota builds two kinds of hybrids. I mean that they're not technically different, but they're different in terms of their application.
And technically different, and too.
Technically different.
I mean, true the that. Orientation yes. of the motors and yes. stuff yes. like that.
So when you think of like a Camry or a Prius, Toyota is using the hybrid system, the electrification, to basically be hyper-focused on fuel economy. But in the trucks, and that's also the Tundra, I think to the Sequoia as well, they're using it to basically generate more power and more torque. So what they're saying is, and Ford did this first, what they're saying is you can get V8 performance. I'm not saying they're saying this, but that's basically the idea. You can get V8 performance in a V.
Or a four-banger.
In a four-banger turbo electrified hybrid.
Yes.
And the numbers are true. You can.
And on paper, monstrous torque.
Yeah.
But in practice, what happens?
It comes at the cost of fuel economy.
Yes. And also weight.
Yeah.
Weight is a big factor, right? We've also recently tested the Land Cruiser. Has the same powertrain. It has the turbocharged four-cylinder, the electric motor, and, of course, the battery. And you're gaining weight when you add all those components together.
So in real terms, that means on the highway, the Toyota hybrid trucks might get 1 mpg better than the non-hybrid.
Yeah. In the city, they're significantly better,
right?
In the city, so it just depends on where you live. If you live in the Los Angeles, metro area or Dallas or something, some big humongous city, and you're driving in the city a lot, the hybrid may make more sense.
Well, let's talk about the specs on the TRD Pro, and we're kind of saying this is in the same breath as the Trail Hunter, which is kind of their more overlandy Tacoma, right? So the TRD Pro is aimed at more desert running, rock crawling, whereas the Trail Hunter is more the overlander vehicle. And so they both have very similar setups, but they do have different shocks. So the TRD Pro, like the Ranger Raptor, comes with Fox shocks.
But not live.
But not live. So right. You have to actually, you can adjust them, but you have to go under the wheel and under each wheel to actually adjust them. Whereas in the
flip
Ford,
a switch. Yeah,
you got to go to a screen and go bloop, 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 which is, you know, in my mind, much easier because who wants to get dirty? I don't for sure.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
But the Trail Hunter comes with Old Man Emu.
Exactly. And
Reservoir. They're both reservoir shots.
Piggyback reservoirs. Right. So yep. They're both pretty fancy and also high quality pieces, right? Because they're aluminum body and very, very fancy technologies in both cases. And by the way, the Old Man Emu shocks are built by Bilstein, just the manufacturing process, but Old Man Emu.
Branding
and also tuning, right? The way they're tuned. I would take. Gosh, if you give me a choice between a Pro and a Hunter, Trail Hunter, by the way, they cost about the same.
Yep.
So
65-ish after
yes.
taxes.
I would go Hunter.
After delivery.
Which way would you go?
I would
go?
Definitely go Hunter. I love the Hunter. I love the look of it. They had one in this kind of dark forest green that I fell in love with. The other reason I would go with Hunter is because in the Pro, you get these isodynamic seats, which basically are this new technology where you can pump up the back of the seat using a bicycle pump, and it gives you more support in three directions.
Basically a suspension type seat.
Yeah, like they say, like imagine you're sitting in a hammock.
Yes.
It's not that good.
Well, you may not want to sit in a hammock in a bouncing pickup truck.
Yeah, it's not like a truck seat that has like a spring right when you sit down.
And it's a little bit more complicated.
Our skid steer does that too. It's more dynamic. But there is a massive downside to that, and that is it takes up about at least, I would say, 2 inches of leg room. And so
or foot room also.
Yeah, the Tacoma has already probably one of the ones that has the least amount of rear seat room, and now you're really taking away. So just for that reason, I would go with the Trail Hunter because it's got regular seats.
Yeah, so a couple of comments. Mm-hmm. A few people have said that Toyota should really consider putting a V6 into the new Tacoma. So, first of all, we've seen the concept.
You sure you want that after what happened with the Tundra?
There's also a question about recalls.
Yeah, so Tundra recalled 2023.
And 22.
V6s.
Twin turbos. Not hybrids, though.
No.
Specifically non-hybrid.
But all of them.
All of them. 100, like 102,000.
Is it 100? It's over 100,000, yeah.
That includes a few LX600s.
Yeah.
Also
they,
SUVs.
They had issues with oil not getting to all of the cylinders, which is never a good thing.
So they explained it as a manufacturing issue where some of the manufacturing debris of the metal was actually shavings or something like that was being left inside of the engine when it was manufactured. So they recalled basically all of them for those years.
Ouch.
That's
an engine rebuild. They have to basically to fix that. They have to take all of the accessories.
Or an engine replacement.
I would say. Yeah. That's like when they had to replace the frames on the old Tacomas.
Old Tundras,
yeah. To answer your question, no, I don't want the V6. I have no problems. Look,
and not because of that.
No, not because of that. I just think the thing is powerful enough. You know, one of the issues, Andre, is when I was young man, turbos came around, I remember the Saab 900, and they were basically like engines that the manufacturer decided to put a turbocharger on. And what ended up happening was that the turbocharger wasn't necessarily designed to be part of that engine, so it was
kind of an overheat,
yeah, or it, you know, there was horrendous turbo lag. But today's modern turbos are designed to be integral to the entire engine. And so not only from a longevity standpoint, but from, you know, an efficiency standpoint and from a power standpoint, they do just make so much power, right? The Toyota's got that GR Corolla 3-cylinder that puts up 300 horsepower.
Yes.
100 horsepower per cylinder. So, you know, you got to kind of switch your thinking around it. Like back in the day, the more cylinders, the more power. Today, not necessarily.
Or the bigger the displacement, the more power.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because the technology wasn't involved enough. So the only way you could get more power was to go to a big block versus a small block. But now you don't have to do that.
And also on paper, speaking about our Blueberry Tacoma, on paper it says 317 pound-feet of torque, right? But you have to also read RPM, 1700, so very low torque. It's almost a diesel-like experience. And when I drive it just without a trailer or without the load, it jumps off the line. I mean, it's really – so I'm not sitting there and saying, oh, I wish they put a bigger V6 into this. I've never thought of that in the new Tacoma. I think the new turbocharged 4 is really good for power.
Maybe the smart money question that I would be asking is, do you actually need the extra expense, weight, and complexity of the hybrid?
Exactly.
And you know, we've driven both, and my answer is no. I mean, the regular four-cylinder turbo
is plenty good, actually.
Is plenty good. I mean, that power comes in, full torque comes in at 1,700 RPM. That's crazy, 1,700 RPM. You know, when I was a kid, you'd have to wind that thing out to 6,000 RPM.
$4,000, $5,000, yes.
And now at 1,700 RPM, you have full torque, and really people buy horsepower, but they drive torque, and so that's what you feel when you're driving it. So I would say, you know, if you don't necessarily have to have a Trail Hunter or a TRD Pro because you can't have it without the hybridized four-cylinder, just go for a normal, you know, off-road model, and you'll never struggle for power. Let's face it, these guys only tow, 6,000 pounds, right?
Yeah, and the Range Raptor, 5,500 pounds.
Yeah, so it's not like you're going to be pulling, you know, a giant camper with them anyway.
Double Back again says, power is great, but will turbos last? There is another comment, Frontier or Gladiator only because do not reward the turbo people by AD1. So there's still, you guys have these thoughts about, you know, trust older technology.
Who are the turbo people, Andre? Are there people that are making money? Are they who are the turbo people?
The little turbo people.
Are the little people living in the turbo? Like little gnomes that are, you know, working in the turbo. What turbo people, dude? We're living through this change, right?
Here's the thing.
And people hate new technology for some reason. Don't you think?
A lot of people do, yes.
Imagine like back in the day when ABS came along.
What about fuel injection, Roman?
Or fuel injection, right? People, I want to be working my carburetor. You know, I want to be able to tune that thing and make it run at high altitude, whereas fuel injection does it automatically. And then computers came along and they made fuel injection more, more efficient, right?
They say we have a big turbo agenda.
The turbo, yeah, we're part of the turbo people. Yes, exactly right. Okay. The Cybertruck, let's go stick a turbo in it. But here's the thing I think you got to get into your head. And if you can get this thing into your head, then the turbo people won't bother you. I'm going to say something controversial. Mm-hmm. You ready?
Yes.
Forget about working on your own car. The days of shade tree mechanics, right? Everybody's got this like glamorized image of I come home and my dad would wash the
spark plug.
Yeah. And to be Andre, they don't work on vehicles at the dealership either. They replace parts.
They just replace
big parts. Nobody actually fixes things anymore, and you won't be able to.
That's unfortunate. It's sad.
It's just different.
Well, it's different.
If you want to work on your vehicle, go take a computer programming class. Really? I'm absolutely serious.
Yeah. Well, you have to plug it in, and you have to read codes, and you have to adjust things.
I know it's glamorous to come back, you know, have dirty hands covered in oil and, you know, fingertips that are, steeped in all the hard work you did replacing your fuel pump. Those days are over, guys. Really, they are. And I say good riddance. I was never one to glamorize, you know, going to the parts store 14 times. And I've done that, right? Because you go to the parts store and like, you have this part. And they're like, yeah. And you bring it back and then the part doesn't fit. So you go back to the parts store. You get another part. That one does fit, but it's one of those Chinese remade ones. It doesn't work. So you take it off again. You go back. And by the time you've done this, it's 6 o'clock at night and you're still not fixing the damn thing.
Yes.
Sorry. Just being, you know, honest.
What's another vehicle that's there's many of that have a turbocharger and they go a million miles or more? Every day. You see them every day.
Ooh, good question.
It's the semi-truck. Every semi-truck has a turbocharger. They all go a million miles. I'm not saying they never replace turbos.
Yeah.
They do. But that's how, you know, this technology. There's another negative about trucks using airbag suspensions,
yep.
Right? The new Rebel, for example, yep. and the Ram trucks have air suspensions, and everybody says airbags fail.
They do.
Well semi-trucks have been using airbag suspensions for at least, I don't know, 40, 50, 60
yeah.
years.
Yeah, and they have, but they're parts of fleets, right? And they have people who maintain them. And look, I just took a giant dump on all of you guys who want to go work on your own trucks. I respect it. If you want to work on your own truck, I would say go get yourself a square body Chevy and go at it.
With a 350 V8.
But don't apply those same like rules that you've got for that square body to the new vehicles because that's just gone. Those days are just gone. And they're gone, but you can still have them if you want them because there's still plenty of old square body Chevys. There's still plenty of old Fords out there. Right, so those are the kinds of things that if you want to work on the modern trucks, yeah. Good luck. Like I say, get a computer and you know figure out how to and that's the other good part actually about turbocharging is that you can tune them. I mean, somebody's going to crack it, right?
Yeah, or sometimes manufacturers allow some aftermarket companies to come in and tune them as well.
Or worse yet, they'll charge you for that.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
You
can still get yourself like a Coyote probably, right? Or you could probably somewhat work on that. Maybe one of the old...
Well, now the new 5-liter Coyotes have cylinder deactivation tech. Yeah. They're all fully computerized.
We know how well that works.
They're fully computerized. So you really need to know your stuff if you're going to work on a Coyote.
All right. Well, let's keep going. So one of the things that also separates the Tacoma from the Ranger Raptor, besides the badge, is... the Tacoma, what was I going to say? I just completely lost my train of thought. There's a lot of style, obviously, but the Trail Hunter actually has this really cool feature where it has a built-in air compressor, which I love. That you got me on that one. I would willingly pay money for that.
It's really nice. It's the use case, right? Yeah. When you're using your truck for camping or going long distance off-road.
Actually, I think it's a Trail Hunter 4Runner that's got the built-in.
They both do.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's in the bed. You're right. Yeah.
It's a use case, right? Yeah. You're deflating your tires, maybe inflating your tires. Maybe you're inflating your camping mattress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you're doing, I mean, that's really a part of the vehicle.
But there's a downside to getting one of these like super trucks, and that is their payload tends to be really bad because it's taken up by all this fancy suspension and air compressors. So I want to say the payload on we just drove it the other day. What's the payload on the Ranger Raptor? Maybe like 900 pounds, something like that.
Oh no!
It's good.
It's like 1,400 pounds.
Oh wow! Okay. Yeah. Thank God, I got you here, Andre.
But Tacomas, they have an issue with payload.
What are their payloads?
Like 1,100 pounds or sometimes less.
So think about like that's me, Nathan, Andre, and
Blaze,
yeah,
the dog,
our big dog, yeah. And then you're done. You're kind of done. And if you want to use it to overland,
and then
obviously you're going to put in you know a camper and all the associated stuff that you need to go camping. That gets heavy very quickly.
And I think that's part of the reason because those Pro and Trail Hunter models on the Tacoma side. They do have extra weight because of those electrical components, right? And they can increase the gross vehicle weight rating, right, to compensate, and they can adjust the springs and the shocks. But still, you don't have a lot of payload left in that vehicle.
You don't. All right. Shall we move on to the GM twins? You want to answer another question?
There's a couple of comments.
Yeah.
So, thank you guys for commenting and watching and being here. There is one person who is 6'5", Parker, who's asking, he's never set in the new Ranger. So in, this is my opinion. I'm 6'3". I'm a little bit more comfortable. By the way, they improved the new Tacoma greatly. The new seats in the Tacoma are way better than they ever were before.
You don't sit with your legs straight out in front of you.
Exactly. But I am a little bit more comfy in the Ranger Raptor.
If you're
or
six,
actually, if you're the regular Ranger too.
Yeah, if you're 6'5", don't get the sunroof. That takes about 2 inches.
You need as much ceiling space as
possible. And honestly, if you're 6'5", you're probably going to have to go for a full-size truck. I just think you're not going to be – the only one that you might be happy in is the Honda Ridgeline. That is just an ergonomic masterpiece.
Of packaging.
Yes. Yeah, and that one has so much room, both the front and the rear seat.
And width-wise, too. Honda is a little bit wider.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe that one if you want to – a mid-sized truck.
Or take a Gladiator and remove the roof. Take the roof off and let your hair fly.
Put a bikini top on that damn thing. Yeah, exactly. Yes. All right, let's talk about the GM twins.
Yeah, so this is very important, right? GM is a big player now in this space. I see a lot of Chevy Colorados running around. I didn't for a while. You know, COVID and other things have slowed things down a bit. But the ZR2 starts just under 50,000, but we're talking about the Bison. The Bison package is about $11,000. So now we're moved into like $61,000 territory on the ZR2 Bison.
And we didn't mention this, but we should. Unlike the Tacoma, you get a front and a rear locker in the GM, as you do in the Ford.
In the Ford, yes.
So if you really value the front locker, and let's talk about the front locker. So rear locker and a center locker, which obviously they have, you will get to 99% of the places. It's only when you're starting doing like extreme rock crawling. And we've been doing that in Moab. We've got some issues. We've got some obstacles where you're not going to get up without having full lockers. But even if you don't have full lockers, basically you've got, at worst, three-wheel drive, at worst. The other big difference, I think, between the Ranger Raptor and the Tacoma is that the Ranger Raptor has full-time all-wheel drive. So you have two high and four automatic. And that to me.
Or you can switch to two-wheel drive as well.
Or two-wheel drive.
But you have that extra option.
You have that automatic option. And that is a big deal because when we bought our Tacoma, we drove it back from Texas in a snowstorm. And the next day, some of the snow started to melt. And I can't tell you, Andre, how much time I spent like switching between two high and four high. Because in four high, it'll crab. So if you're on snow, you're like, great, love it, perfect traction. Then you hit some, you know, dry areas, and all of a sudden you try to make a turn, and the thing starts to go. Whereas with the four automatic, it won't ever do that. And you do get that with the Ford. Do you get that in the GM twins? You know, or am I asking too deep of a question?
By the way,
does yours have
four auto.
There you go.
Yes. So Toyota has this thing against that. Either they give you full time four wheel drive, no two wheel drive, or they give you no four auto in the other system.
Yeah, like we just have the new Land Cruiser here, and that's got four auto. It's all-wheel drive all the time.
Yeah, no two-wheel drive option, really,
no.
In that setup. But GM gives you options depending on how much money you pay. My Trail Bus, which was an affordable option in this pickup truck space, has an automatic mode as well. There's a comment here about from Parker before we get to more GM stuff. He says he's in South Dakota, and he had a Ram truck with air suspension for 3 years, and he started having trouble with his air suspension after that. So he's saying, indeed, air suspensions fail. I think, you know, I just had a thought.
Yes.
Semi-trucks have air dryers.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Basically, compressors, you know, draw air from the outside. Air has humidity in it.
To dry.
The air goes into the lines and the bags, and it can rust and it can cause issues when freezing.
So they dry it in case your hair needs doing. So you have, is that what you're saying?
They have air dryers.
Oh, air! I thought you said hair dryers, not air dry. Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry.
I thought that somebody said hair dryers. Sorry.
Well, Andrew. They might have.
I know what you're saying. But what you're saying is that you have to get
high quality dry air.
Condensation in the airbag and in the lines causes the rust, which causes it to fail.
Yes.
What was the next question? Somebody else put a question.
Wow.
Oh, let's keep going.
Ranger Raptor in Canada. So this is NL Ken.
Yep.
And Tier D Pro is the same cost.
That's interesting. Wow. Yeah, here they're like 8K apart.
Yeah. I don't know why that is.
So my question to you, my friend, is it 57 or is it 63?
It's 80.
Oh, it's in the middle.
It's
even more.
No, it's more because this is Canadian dollar.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
It's more like 63.
Yeah. So sorry, Ken. I don't know
what
to tell
you. In U.S. dollars, yeah. Wow. Wow.
It's more.
Yeah.
It's more money. What do you think of the Tundra engine recall from Romy Rome? We just discussed it.
We just did.
And I think... It's 2022 and 2023. Once again, COVID years. I don't want to blame everything on COVID, but it was really hard, and I'm surprised. I'm surprised by that recall. That's all I can say.
Yeah, you know, maybe the bigger picture here is that Toyota's taken quite a hit in their reputation for reliability. It's starting to become a little more shaky, right? Obviously, we had some issues with our Tacoma that are well documented. I'm getting tired of talking about them, so... You guys know what went on, you know what went on. But now you've got this much bigger issue, which is this, you know, engine recall. And it seems like Toyota is, you know, not as focused on... I shouldn't say that's not
no,
fair.
No. Or maybe, I don't think maybe it's the focus.
Or maybe it is... Maybe
it's the COVID. Volume. Yeah. I think it's volume.
They're building so many cars now.
Because if you look at the entire lineup on Toyota, it's not just trucks. I mean, they're the best-selling... Compact crossover, RAV4, sells almost, 450,000 cars a year in the U.S. You have the Camry selling 300,000 in the U.S. You have the Tacoma selling 250,000 in the U.S. There's such a massive production house that I think we're seeing, you know, because of the volume, I think we're seeing more issues. Hmm. I mean, that's my another take.
We get this comment a lot. Are we going to go see more Ranger?
Yes.
What do you think this is? Dude, is this Ranger Raptor content?
This is Ranger Raptor content.
You're watching it.
No, by the way, we are making more.
Let's do this.
What?
8 channels, very popular TikTok channel, 2 podcasts, Ranger Raptor all the time. Nothing but Ranger Raptor content.
Okay.
24/7 TFL Ranger Raptor content.
Here's
too much?
Too much.
Too little?
Here's the thing. Firebry and the other people who have asked... First of all, we just did another video about the Ranger Raptor.
Tommy just took it off, Ron, and did a review.
Yes.
Did a kind of a
also,
update.
Also, I apologize. There's been a lull in the Ranger Raptor.
Well, we're waiting to get our hands on
a ZR2 Bison.
And a TRD Pro, yeah. Yes. Yeah, we're sitting here like...
We're twiddling our thumbs.
Yeah. What are we going to... You know, the last video we did, we compared it to the Tacoma, but that wasn't a fair comparison. Can't compare it to a Cybertruck. Can't compare it to a Cummins. You know, so we need to put it up against the vehicles that it...
Competes against.
Yeah, that it lives in nature with, right?
Yeah.
Right?
So we're getting very, very soon a ZR2 Bison, and also we're hoping to get either a Pro or a Trail Hunter, right? So as soon as you're going to be flooded with more Ranger Raptor content coming up soon.
Yeah, yeah. And we did just open up, we opened up a Moab Bureau, so we're going to be going to Moab a lot more. And also another problem is anything we do off-road, you think – if you're in Florida, California, you just go do it. The problem is in Colorado, we really have only maybe 4 months of off-roading. That's why we opened up the the top of the mountain. Yeah, we can't. There's no off-roading to be done here. We're still snowed in. I know it's hard to believe if you're sitting watching this in Florida.
Ironclads is open. Let's be clear. Ironclads is open 12 months.
Yeah, but it gets boring after a while.
Yes.
But like the good stuff.
When you're going to the same place.
Imogene, closed. Black Bear, closed. Red Cone, closed. Because there's
Tin Cup, closed.
It's just covered in snow right now.
Still.
And so
you and I did an eye gauntlet yesterday. There's a couple feet of snow laying in the mountains still.
And let's kind of actually talk about the financial logistics of this. So basically, we make about $1,000 for every 100,000 views that we get. That's about what you get on YouTube, right? So if you can get 1 million views, you can make $10,000 on a video. And keep in mind, that's not all profit. We still have to, especially with a team and editors and office rent and taxes and payroll.
And fuel costs.
Fuel costs, right? So for us to go do a Ranger Raptor video in Moab, in fuel alone, it's probably a couple $100 just in fuel. Mm-hmm. And then in time and team and staff, you're probably like well into $1,000 just to do that video, if not more, when you consider everything that is involved in doing that. And then we get 50,000 views. We've just lost money on that video. And I know that some of you are really hot and want to know more about it. But at the end of the day, if you want to keep getting TFL content, we have to make money. And it's gotten recently much harder on YouTube to make money. Something's changed in the algorithm. We're not the only ones that are noticing this, but views in general are down across the entire platform for most creators. And that just basically means, you know, it's much harder to keep the lights on when, you know, you have less money that's rolling in. So you have to be more judicious with what you do. And in the past, when we could just say, hey, let's take a team of five people, take three trucks and go out to Moab and go for it. Today, we got to be like, well, let's see if that can actually, you know, make money and we can afford to keep the lights on.
Exactly. That's super valid point.
And I know you guys think, and I understand this, well, you just bought a $100,000 Cybertruck.
Yeah.
But we got 1.4 million views on one video, which helped pay for $14,000 of that truck. And at some point, we'll also sell that truck to buy another truck so we can make more content. So yes, we did buy that, but if you're a fast food restaurant, it's like buying hamburgers, right? That's how we make the videos. Anyway, enough of the inside baseball.
Okay.
Let's keep going. This is what car or truck should I buy? And, you know, we've been talking a half hour about this, and nobody has asked us what truck should I buy question. Is anybody out there looking for a vehicle? A truck?
Andrew says...
And we can answer?
Ford should build a Ranger Tremor, because they used to have a Tremor, not anymore.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. I think this is my view. This is not Ford speaking. Obviously, I don't work for Ford. But I think they want to launch the Ranger Raptor, and they don't want to muddy the water with another trim level in their lineup with a Tremor. I wish they do build a Tremor in the future, because the Ranger Tremor is available overseas. Still, that's one question.
And they are, you know, in more truck news, we've just put out a video where finally they're building a hybrid all-wheel drive Maverick.
Yes.
And now there's rumor of a plug-in.
When is it going to be available?
I don't know. Ford has not officially announced it yet. I'm just saying they're out there running around, so we know it's coming. So we know they're working on that. But we would love to answer your truck question. So if there's anybody out there that's looking to buy a truck or in the process of buying a truck, let us know what questions you have, and we will gladly answer them.
So Ski is asking, is the hybrid Tacoma worth the extra money? And actually, it's a significant amount of money, right? So if you look at a tier D off-road non-hybrid versus hybrid tier D off-road, because they also offer that, right? I think it's like between $3,500 or $4,500, right?
Is it just me, Andre, or is everything like $10,000 too expensive? I just look at the prices and I think to myself, that Ranger Raptor that we have should be $47,000, right? And the Tacoma TRD off-road
shouldn't be $65,000.
Should be $55,000, and our Tacoma should be not $45,000 but $35,000. So is it worth the extra money? Oh God, I don't know if it's worth the money to begin with. I just kind of feel like everything after COVID and with inflation has gotten so expensive. And if you're out there trying to buy a new truck and you're living on a fixed budget,
yeah, it can be overwhelming.
But then again, here's an interesting fact. You know, we were at our local Toyota dealership. And they have all of these Toyota Tacomas sitting on the lot, which are the SR5s, and they've got a line of people waiting to get the more expensive TRD off-road. So Like in the comment, everybody complains about how expensive things is, are. And then when it's time to buy something, everybody wants the expensive one. So I'm a little lost. I don't know what that dynamic is.
Yeah, I think the dynamic is you're going into a dealership, and not just Toyota, any dealership. And let me know if you agree. The dynamic is I'm going in, I'm thinking about spending $50K. That always happens to me in the past.
Okay.
And the salesman person or man or woman says, by the way, if you get the Pro, you're going to get this, this, and this. You know, you're going to get better cameras, better, bigger screen. You're going to have, you know, air compressor in your Trail Hunter. So you always stretch because you're like, you tickled by that. Okay, all right, I can stretch another 10K and I can extend my financing, you know, my loan to greater length and let's go for it. I think that there may be something like that going on as well.
Yeah, I think you're always... And it happens with house hunting, right?
Yes.
You have like 10 things you want, but your budget's
and then,
good for like 8.
Yes.
And so it's easier to stretch because the money is a little bit easier to, you know, to justify.
Because you're borrowing money usually.
Yeah, I agree.
So that could happen as well. And also, I go to a GMC dealership and I'm like, which trucks do you have or don't have? They're like, Denali is sold out. Every Denali we get is gone. You know, those are $80,000 trucks, right, or more. Every luxurious Tahoe or Yukon are gone. I mean, people buy a lot of these trucks around here.
All right. Well, if the Stone's asking truck buying questions, I'm going to answer truck buying questions that I have.
Okay.
we'll prime the pump, okay? So TRD Pro or Ranger Raptor? I'm going to go with Ranger Raptor. I just think you get a lot more for your money with the Ranger Raptor.
I agree.
Okay?
Yes.
All right.
Oh, now?
Yeah.
Ranger Raptor, since you just chose it.
Which you can't get because there's so few allocations. All right, but go ahead.
Versus a ZR2 or ZR2 Bison. Those are, remember, there's a big difference there.
So
there's about $11,000 difference
so
between the
GM
Bison.
GM was the first to come up with a 4-banger turbo, 2.7 liter. And I was unsure of, just like many of you are, of whether a 4-cylinder is going to do what it should do. And they came out with this kind of silly marketing strategy where you had different power levels on the same engine, and then eventually they figured out that people wanted the more powerful one. And I'm actually very much impressed. I think, especially compared to the old Colorado, the new Colorado is such a good truck and such a good value. And I think if you're looking for a value, the Colorado is definitely the way to go. The GMC, Jeepers Creepers, that's also way too expensive. I don't get why people think that like the GMC is better than the Chevy. I get the reasoning, but I they're just the same.
But under the skin.
They're like different flavors of chocolate. You know what I mean? They're pretty much identical, and yet people will pay 10K more for the GMC, maybe because there's a reputation of more luxury, but I don't understand.
Like, it's like a brand. I mean, it is like, I don't know, it's like...
Well, it's like Toyota and Lexus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically like brand.
With Lexus, you get like a better dealership experience. You get also kind of more, so like one is more luxurious, the other one is more sporty or more fuel efficient. There's much, much cleaner delineation between the two. But with GMC and Chevy, I'd always get the Chevy version. I think you're just going to get the same thing, maybe in not the most beautiful suit, but it's going to be just as functionally good.
A lot of it is aesthetics.
Yeah.
And also, if you consider the base Chevy Colorado ZR2, that's, dude, under 50K, I would choose it over the Ranger Raptor. I'm sorry. The Ranger Raptor may have fancier suspension. It may be, I don't know, a little bit more powerful. But I would choose a ZR2, actually. Dual lockers, still great suspension. 33-inch tall tires. Bam.
All right. So this guy says, I will never buy another 4-cylinder truck. End of story.
Okay.
Yeah, well, yeah, no one's forcing you, dude. Do you? You do you.
Oh, there's another comment that they just picked the Nissan Frontier.
Yeah, let's talk about
about Nissan.
Yeah, and one other thing before we get to Nissan, which we should talk about, the truck that I think is probably the most overpriced right now, unfortunately, is the Gladiator, and sales have proven it. So I think what happened with the Gladiator, and this may be the same thing that's happening with the Ineos Grenadier, which we're going to go drive the new Quartermaster, the truck, is that everybody who wanted one got one. And now they're having trouble selling it because the price point is so high. Like a Mojave that we had here was what, 68,000. Dude, we had a $68,000 Mojave.
Mid-sized truck.
And I talked to Jeep about it because, you know, we're, hey, raise my hand, huge Jeep fans here. And they said it's the only one that's a convertible. But, yeah, I mean, like I get convertible, but convertible and truck, you know, it's not exactly like the thing that most people associate with trucks.
I think it's attractive being a convertible. I do but too. Not at $68,000.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big price to pay. I know there's more affordable Jeep Gladiators, but I'm still.
Well, here's.
It was a lifestyle.
And here's, lifestyle truck. Here's the thing, right? There are more affordable ones, but the dealers don't have them.
Exactly.
You walk into a Jeep dealership and you're going to get just a row upon row of Rubicons or Mojaves, but you're not going to see the base models. And then other problem is you kind of feel like with the base model Gladiator versus the Rubicon, you really feel like there's a massive difference. Like your truck, right? Except for the cruise control, but the Colorado that you have seems just as good as any other Colorado. It doesn't feel like, you know, there is some cost cutting and there is some cheaper plastics. But with the base Jeep Gladiator, you really feel like you're not getting the best of Jeep, right? I mean, you get the convertible, but you get tiny tires. You get much smaller wheel options.
Different axles. No lockers.
Yeah. You know. Kind of basic cloth seats. It's a real stripper.
I mean, if you want to modify it the heck out of it, maybe buying a basic Gladiator makes sense because it's kind of a blank canvas, and then you can do your own axles, tires, wheels.
There's been this like huge renaissance in the midsize truck world. So midsize trucks are kind of having their moment in the sun, and I kind of feel like Gladiator was there at the beginning, but then they haven't refreshed. Right? They just added, you know, seats that are electric. Woohoo! And a little bigger screen and a little different front fascia. But this is nothing that you're going to tell your neighbors about when you bring one home. All right.
Doubleback again says 3-liter turbo gas engine, the Hurricane, in the Gladiator or Wrangler. Is it coming? First of all, we don't know an official statement from Jeep. But also, I don't think it's likely.
No, I agree with you, Andre. I don't see it.
First of all, the size of that engine, I mean, it fits well into the Ram truck, for example, the Ram 1500 truck, it fits well. The Gladiator platform or the Jeep Wrangler platform is a lot smaller. And also, they committed to plug-in hybrid, right? The 4xe system that exists in the Wrangler is quite powerful.
It's coming to the Gladiator.
And it's coming to the Gladiator. So I think that's where Jeep is moving to. They're moving to, like Toyota in a way, into hybridization and electrification and not increasing the number of cylinders.
Exactly right. All right, keep going. Other questions?
Big discounts on some Gladiators. We saw that.
We did.
But that was an outgoing 2023 models. Most of them are gone now. And now we have 2024s with smaller discounts.
Let's see. I was a loyal Toyota Tundra owner. Keep going on that one, Andre.
Till the 2022, traded my 2021 Tundra on a Trail Boss with a Duramax. Awesome fuel economy and power. That makes sense. I love the new 3-liter Duramax. Makes a lot of sense. And also the Trail Boss, I think, is a good balance, like we talked about. It's not super fancy as far as suspension and capability, but it's plenty capable already.
So I think that there are just these, like, let's call them tropes that people have in their minds, and it's hard to break those. So even though GM has had that mid-sized Duramax, right? The one that they can put that you put in the full size truck. It doesn't account for a huge percentage of their sales, right? Most GM full size trucks either have the 5.3 or the 6.2, and somehow like heavy duty trucks are associated with diesels, full size trucks are associated with V8s, and mid size trucks are associated with six cylinders, Pentastar. You know, you can just go down the line, and now that whole world is changing, and people are having a really hard time with that. And yet the options that are out there, like that 3-liter diesel that you can get in a full-size GM truck, is not on anybody's radar because they're like, I got to have a V8. And even though diesel is incredibly fuel efficient, I think one of the best engines that's made right now, it just doesn't seem to like rise to the top of mind when people are out there buying full-size trucks.
Agreed. There's a question about Nissan Frontier. So
let's talk about the Frontier a little bit more here.
The question is, do you think Nissan will keep the V6 and the future of the Nissan Frontier? And by the way, we've seen camouflage prototypes of the Frontier running around.
Yeah.
Which means they're doing a refresh on it. The refresh on it, if I look underneath the camo with my eyes, does not look that dramatic. Right. I think it's a mild refresh.
I just think Nissan is in a hard place right now. They're kind of caught between. So I think both GM and Ford have decided that they can't make money selling cars, and they have committed to building only SUVs and trucks. And you know, once you cut that cord, whether you think that, except for the Corvette, obviously, when you cut that cord, then it starts to make sense. But Nissan is still, you know, committed to, I think, mainly selling cars or crossovers, and I think that's a strong headwind that they're selling into. And let's face it, with the Titan gone, it makes it even harder for people to have a Nissan truck at top of mind. And I love the Frontier. I loved it more than I love it now. When it first came out, I thought it was, you know, just a no-nonsense basic truck. But there are some problems with no-nonsense basic trucks. And the first and foremost is they're thirsty. It is a thirsty truck.
Yeah, the V6 is powerful, right? Great power, 310 horsepower right there. Of course, it doesn't have the turbocharged torque. But it's a great truck. It is thirsty.
Yeah.
It is a bit thirsty.
It's a little old school. I mean, part of me like hates screens because you know you want just the simplicity of buttons, and the Nissan gives you that. But when you compare it, this is the issue. When you compare it to, and I'm using air quotes here if you're listening to this, a modern truck, it just looks dated and old. You can't get past that. So obviously, you know, people like real buttons, but in a side-by-side comparison, the one that's always going to look more modern and futuristic. I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it's going to look more modern and futuristic is the one with the big screen versus the one with multiple buttons. And that's a real issue in the marketplace.
But there's a way to do both. I mean, there's some manufacturers that found ways, and I think RAM is really good at this.
RAM has done a good job.
With combining, you know, actual physical controls with screens and large screens as well. So I think RAM is doing quite a good job. And also, Nissan Frontier is pretty affordable. I mean, you can get into it at like, you know, high $30,000 range for a four-wheel drive into like a low $40,000 range. I think you can get a lot of value.
Read this last comment. It's interesting because there's a solution to that now.
The Frontier is nice. The hydraulic steering needs to go, however.
Yeah, so Frontier has a pretty poor turning circle.
Actually, most of these trucks have poor turning circles.
And the solution that both GM and Tesla have pioneered, which is coming, I think, to many more trucks, is rear-wheel steering. Right? That Cybertruck, there's a couple of things that are just game changers on it, and one of them is that rear-wheel steering. We saw it for the first time in the Hummer EV. Because it just makes.
How about Quadra Steer from 2001?
Where's Kent?
2001. 2001.
Let's get Kent in here. The problem with Quadra Steer is it was just more of a gimmick that
it was an expensive option.
Yeah, and a gimmick
that
actually didn't do much. Whereas rear wheel steering, 10 degrees of it, makes the turning circle of a Cybertruck that of like a Honda Civic, which is pretty amazing.
And also, so hydraulic steering versus electric steering. Right?
Yes.
Power steering. Electric steering may not have, you know, the same feeling, but in a truck, you're not looking to carve, you know, a racetrack, right? So I think the feeling in the steering is less important, but also it's a little bit more efficient, right? You're not spinning a pump, you know, to consistently, you know, always, you know, power your steering.
So let me ask you this, Andre. Yes? What do you think of the steer-by-wire in the Cybertruck? You've driven it a lot. Most people say it takes me a time to get used to it, but after a while I get used to it. What's your experience been with it?
So I love the idea of a variable ratio, right? Mm-hmm. So when you turn the steering wheel a little at low speeds, it turns a lot.
Yep.
So variable ratio I love. I hate the little squarish steering wheel.
Yeah, it looks like it's like a Formula One steering wheel in a truck. It just makes no sense.
It's hard for me to get used to it because if it was a small circle, I think I would feel better about it because I easily can kind of move my hands around it, but I cannot. I've been driving for 30 years. I want to move my hand.
So steer by wire is new in the automotive industry, but it's been around forever, well, relatively forever in airplanes, right? nobody actually has real controls when you're flying a 747. There's a stick and there's a computer, and then you do something with the stick and the computer does something with the ailerons. And that's what's happening with the Cybertruck. You turn the steering wheel and the computer says, okay, turn the front wheels this much and the rear wheels this much. And the upside is you never have to go like hand over hand to make a turn. You never actually have to turn the steering wheel more than maybe 90 degrees.
Yes. And then...
No, 90.
There are other benefits of steer-by-wire. You could move the steering wheel somewhere else. You could move it to the right.
Or not have it at all.
Or you could not have it at all. You could move it in the back. You can move it on the roof. You could sit up high. You could sit down low. So there's a lot of different things that you can do with that.
And the downside is if it fails at 80 miles an hour, there's no physical connection between it and the wheels.
Yeah, there's some redundancy.
Yeah.
So a lot of course, safety concerns come about using this system. There's a redundancy. By the way, you know that Tesla did not create and invent this. It's a component manufacturer. ZF supplies a lot of those components. So, and ZF and other manufacturers like Magna and Bosch, and there's a number of these tier one suppliers, they do a ton of testing and they go through every single government regulation. So it's not just Tesla, it's other people working on
this. Yeah, and I don't mind it. You know, the thing that it allows you to do is have the buttons for the turn signals on the steering wheel, whereas in a regular Tesla that doesn't have this is the first Tesla that has it, when you have buttons and one points left and one points right, when you completely turn the wheel 180 degrees, they flip. That's when turn signal stalks are better. But in a Tesla Cybertruck, those buttons never get upside down. In other words, they never become the wrong way.
Oh, yeah, the missing stock. We've got a Super Chat donation from Travis H. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Travis. Very much appreciated your generosity.
He says that this donation is towards toilet paper for the Moab office.
Thank
you. Right?
We do need toilet paper. And being the boss, I get to change it. I was changing toilet paper in the office the other day, and I'm like, shouldn't there be people for this? Shouldn't there be people?
Why is a CEO changing toilet paper?
I don't know, because that's what you do in a small company.
Okay.
You do everything.
Thank you, Travis. Really appreciate it. We love support. By the way, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters. Patreon.com/TFLcar is our only page.
If you want to support us, we've been trying to give them videos early.
Yeah, so you have an early look at some of the major stuff we're working on.
And before we wrap this up, let's just give you some ideas of videos that are coming up. Andre and I just did a really fun experiment and got really interesting results. And I hate when like podcasts like tease stuff like, oh, we're going here, but we can't tell you where we're going and we can't tell you what the results were, as if somehow that's going to make people, you know, then go seek out the video. You know, you're here. We value that you're here. So we're going to tell you what happened. So let's tell them what we towed and let's tell them the results. And then you can watch it in real time once the video is published.
I'm sorry, I missed. Which video are you talking about?
Our Ike Gauntlet yesterday.
The one we just did?
Yeah. So we thought it'd be fun to answer this question. Do you need a tiny turbo? In other words, do you need a tiny turbo to tow? That was the premise of the video.
Or if you need a hybrid.
Yeah. Now, we had two vehicles with identical engines. One is our long-term Tacoma.
Yes.
And the other is the brand new Land Cruiser, which has the same engine but is electrified.
Yes.
They both tow 6,000.
Approximately.
Give or take. So we loaded up our little tiny Japanese K-truck.
Honda Acti.
On our 3,000-pound trailer, which was how much, 5,500?
So we towed about 5,500 pounds.
And we went up the Ike, and we wanted to find out three things. We wanted to find out which vehicle controls the load best going down, which vehicle, you know, is the quickest going up, and which vehicle gets best fuel economy going up the mountain. And the results are surprising, and we will tell you that right now. What happened?
So the Tacoma is there as a benchmark, right?
Yep.
Like you said, 10 brake applications down the mountain and basically a perfect run. Up the mountain means about 8 minutes because it's an 8 mile run and you're going at speed limit, which is 60 miles an hour up that stretch. Tacoma did it. And also Tacoma registered 6 miles per gallon on the climb, which is actually a really good result because considering some other trucks with different trailers get sometimes 3.5, sometimes 4, sometimes 5 mpg. So getting 6 mpg was actually a pretty good result.
So we thought the Land Cruiser will do better because it's a hybrid.
It's hybrid.
Because everybody now is like off the EV bandwagon. They all want like hybrids or plug-in hybrid. But, Andre, not the case.
Yes, because on the way down, you and I thought it has a small battery. It's going to regenerate energy going down.
So you won't have to use as many brake applications.
Exactly. We were wrong.
We were wrong. 12.
12 brake applications, so a little more than the Tacoma. So, by the way, we did regen. The battery got full early on.
Like right away. It's a
1.87 kilowatt hour
battery, yeah. So
we got energy. It did not help us on the way down much. And on the way up the mountain, same speed, lots of power. Very quiet. By the way, very quiet, very refined. Nice experience in the Land Cruiser. But 5.8 mpg.
Yep.
And so a little bit worse.
And then actually the Taco went up in under 8 minutes and the Land Cruiser went up in over 8 minutes. That could have been due to traffic.
Yeah. And that was the driver. I was the driver. So my slight variation there.
So then we started scratching our heads like, how come the vehicle with more torque, more regen.
And a battery,
you know, is getting worse fuel economy, more brake applications, and you know, slower time. And the obvious reason, it wasn't obvious to us, but we figured
it wasn't
out,
obvious.
Is that it's 700 pounds heavier. That it's battery weighs pounds heavier. Yeah. And so, yeah, you're getting more power, but you're offsetting that with more weight. That's like putting in what? You know, me, you, and Nathan, and me, you, and Nathan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, once again, I think the hybrids, especially the truck hybrids in the Toyota space, are really great for commuting. When you're going stop and go between lights on your way to work, that's when they shine. They don't shine towing trailers or going fast on the highways. They don't really shine in those experiences.
All right, so let's finish up a couple more questions.
So Mr. Larson says, is Ranger Lariat trim worth it over the XLT? So obviously Ranger goes XL, XLT, Lariat.
I like Lariat trim. I think that's kind of the sweet spot. I just feel like I like a little bit more luxury, a little bit more features. I think it's worth it. I'm going to go yes. Thank you asking the what truck should I buy question.
I'm going to go no.
Okay.
I'm a little bit more simple.
Okay.
So Lariat gives you, you know, maybe fancier wheels, maybe heated seats.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I don't have the configurator in front of me, so I can't tell you all the differences. But I like to go down the middle of the road. So I don't want to buy a bare bones work truck for myself, and I also don't want to buy the highest option truck.
But the Lariat isn't the highest. You still have the Platinum above that.
No, it's the Ranger. We're talking about Ranger.
Okay, Ranger. Sorry. So there. But you have the Ranger Raptor Ranger above that.
Well, yeah. The only thing above it is the Raptor.
Yeah.
And that's a whole different use case.
Right.
I would stick with XLT.
Okay, fair. What else you got? Any other truck buying questions?
Current audience of 186. Okay.
Yeah, thank you for being here,
thanks.
By the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Keep up the awesome videos.
Yeah.
Get a bidet. Do not get toilet paper. But the bidet is costing.
Not for $20. Yeah.
Costs more.
I love that. Thank you.
What cars tow the best?
Oh, God.
A different store. You should do a different what car tows the best. You know what?
Anything truck-based.
In Europe, every car tows.
Yeah, I know. In Europe, they use no tongue weight. That's a whole different conversation.
Really quick.
Yeah.
I was talking to a German engineer in Sweden, right?
Yeah.
By the way, I just published my experience in Sweden. It's a little bit short experience, but
driving
still.
The new EV3.
Kia EV3. I was talking to a German engineer who is working in that space. And he said, Andre, I have a BMW 5 Series sedan that I tow 5,000 pounds with every day. Not every day, okay, maybe once a week, to bring a car here and there. I'm like, why do we need a giant truck to tow 5,000 pounds?
Starting is not as important as stopping. That would be good thing.
You know, we have Rocky Mountains,
yeah,
like you said.
Well, they have Alps.
They have Alps.
Yeah.
So I would be scared driving on the Alps. By the way, they use a lot of surge brakes on their trailers, so not as much electric control.
And they also get a lot more trailer sway because they don't use a lot of tongue weight.
Yeah.
So their tongue weight, use like 10% of the tongue weight.
Also, European cities are old. Streets are narrow. You cannot put a big truck through it. And also speeds are, you know, if
look,
you're not.
Before I got into this, Andre, I moved to Europe and I had a 300 ZX twin turbo and I wanted to bring my motorcycle to Europe. I had a Suzuki Katana. I had a Katana, right? And so I was shipping it to Europe, and I was like, I don't need a truck to tow. I'll just hook up my motorcycle trailer to my 300ZX. So I went to U-Haul, stuck a U-Haul you know, they actually had a hitch on a 300ZX and then towed with it. And it did just fine, but it didn't, Andre. Once you actually tow with the truck, you realize that, yes, you can pull. Because I was like, well, it's got 300 horsepower, but it's not just about horsepower, right? It's about stability. It's about control. It's about feeling like, you know, you have control in an emergency. And this was certainly a case of, you know, the tail wagging the dog. And I think when you have no tongue weight, that becomes very evident. And if you watch those videos out of Europe, you'll always see like a car is going, some European car, like a little tiny diesel Hyundai towing this giant camper, right?
Yes.
And then it's clogging up the roads in England because they don't have the torque or the power.
It's a caravan.
It's
a caravan.
So you see these, you know, these videos of mile long.
And caravans.
And we don't usually have that here. So yes, you can tow with a lot of things, but can you tow safely? Yeah. Will you tow quickly? I don't know.
Here's a question. Do you guys see truck prices falling anytime soon?
Yes, they're already falling.
But I think it has to do with rebates.
Yes.
It's not necessarily your sticker price, because I think the sticker price will remain the same. But right now, it's pretty common to see $5,000 off, $7,000 off.
We're going back to the old days where money on the hood, you got to, you know, buy stuff smartly. So best time to buy cars usually Memorial Day or end of the year or end of the month. So we're kind of back to that. You know, the manufacturer said, oh, we're not going to go back there. We're not going to fill the dealerships with trucks. We're going to do it the way the Europeans do, where you order your things. And you were just the Johnsons.
They had 600 trucks on their lot.
Yeah, we're back to that. So now we got to go back to smart truck shopping.
And also, tow with the Model T. That's going to be interesting.
Sure.
Tow with a Honda Acty, maybe.
It basically has no brakes, but sure.
Yeah, sure. So there you have it. I think we got through most of comments and questions. Thank you very much for sticking with us for a little bit over an hour. Really appreciate it.
And if you're watching this on our podcast/talk channel, let us know in the comments below if you like these midweek kind of shows. Would you actually be willing to call in? If we actually do a call-in, which is technically much more difficult.
And we'll plan it like in advance. Yeah. So like between 10 Mountain and 11 Mountain.
Yeah, but we'd love to get your feedback. Was this entertaining? Was this helpful? Was this something that you listened to? We don't want to, you know, just talk for the sake of talking. We like to do, you know, real
world reviews.
But we love to kind of engage with you guys. So thank you for being here. And we shall see you next time.
Thank you very much.
Ciao. Remember, alltfl.com. Bye.
Yep.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.